Coffee and Cream with Rogers and Benning on Hail Varsity Radio.
You know, football's kind of football. Everybody's new here, coming in with a new staff. And, you know, my teammates have been real welcoming. You know, it's been great just working with them. So it's nothing too new, you know, just learning a new offense with the coaches and, you know, just learning everything.
Sounds like Billy Kemp, one of the new wide receivers on Nebraska's football roster.
Been quiet early a little bit.
Has been, but I don't know if he can really boom this early either.
Yeah, without QBs, well, I don't want to assume.
QBs
aren't really throwing.
Right. When media was present at practice yesterday, quarterbacks weren't throwing. Now they were running drills, but none were throwing. What I did find interesting, and first spring practice, let me give my initial thoughts. I thought it was really well put together to put that out there. I thought they had structure. It was focused. Yes, it was drill heavy, but I didn't notice a lot of lollygagging. Everybody was moving on a sprint. It seemed as if the players were locked in. Now, something I said yesterday, and I hate developing storylines that may or may not be there. But I also think at the same time, Matt Rhule doesn't do anything by coincidence. It doesn't just land on coincidence. He has a thing set forth prior to the start of practice. No position group was with their friends. Like, you saw linebackers with receivers, with DBs, with tight ends, like in the same group. And at first I'm like, interesting. Because when they go to a station, say they go to Rob Dvorak's station, right? Well, he's obviously teaching defense over there for the most part. Mm-hmm. But when you have a tight end that is there too, I thought, again, here I go. I'm thinking of more things. Like, wow, you know, one, with all the position changes that Rhule thinks about or potentially alludes to, maybe that's why you go about doing that. Second to that, maybe it's we're a family. We developed this family mentality. You can't just be with your group the entire time, your people. It's time for you to branch out and be family with everybody. So I thought about that too. And then lastly, as you know, DB, football isn't just offense and defense.
Yeah.
All of it translates into one thing. Footwork is relatively the same. If you're practicing footwork with a defensive coach, that's going to benefit you when you get back to your true position. So I actually felt that if that was what Matt Rhule was thinking about, good on you. I'm happy I was able to figure it out. I'm probably wrong. I'm probably looking way too deep into
it. I kind of like that. Listen, I mean, you're talking to a guy. If you want validation, I'll be honest, right? But I talk to guys all the time about power positions because I think there's a couple guys on our staff that can cross coach positions and even flip-flop different sides of the ball. And I always talk about power positions and being able to get in a three-point stance and where a two-point stance can evolve into a three-point stance and even a four-point stance just based on the same original starting point from a power position. So I think there's tons of crossover. If I'm a running back as I get up, if I'm a running back and I get my feet are shoulder width apart, I'm in my two-point stance, and I want to get in my three-point stance, and I want to get in my four-point stance, my feet never changed, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's the same sort of core power position. So I think there's a lot to that. I also think there are times where putting your body in positions that it's not always accustomed to being are pretty advantageous to prevent injuries. Right? So I kind of like getting out of your comfort zone. I know Stanford trains a lot that way. A lot of schools train that way. A lot more now. So I think I'm with you. I don't think you're reading too much into that at all. I was pleasantly surprised. And I told this to Coach Barthel the other day, right? I mean, to his face, because – and it's weird, right? I had to, like, catch myself because I, like, gave him this hug. And he's probably looking at me like, what is wrong with this dude? But I love, you know, like, I obviously love the university, right? Like, that's – like, I love Nebraska. And I think I know what that – I'm just using running backs for an example because this will lead into the point that we were getting at, which is what one of the reasons why Schaefer wanted to come on at 8 and not the smaller segment is – I said, this running back room is in need of what I think. And I said, hey, full disclosure, man, I don't really know you like that. I gave the Berean reference, right? I just did my homework. I tried to ask around. I look at your resume. I look at who you've coached, how you've coached. I mean, he's looking at me like, this dude's a psychopath, right? But he'd just gotten back off the road from coming from spring break. So I think he's too tired to tell me to go home. And I'm just like, this room is exactly what you need, what they need. They need you, right? And of course, I'm partial to running backs because I've said this, right? We're kind of prima donnas. We can be babies. We're a little high maintenance. We're a lot like wide receivers. And I'm biased, right? I want a guy that could coach me. Like, I was the worst, I think, because I was immature and I was good enough to be really good, not good enough to be great. And it took somebody, like, investing in me to see past all the character flaws to get the best out of me. So that's what I want for people. That's why I love Coach Solich, right? Like, there's a true reverence there. And so when I watch him, I'm like, man, they need you. They need discipline. They need guidance. They need to know you care. They need to know that there's a baseline. Deep down, they want to be led. We all do. I'm just.
And not just you, but this room, what do you strive for?
Well, for
perfection.
Yeah, you want to be the, I was going to say the excellence of execution, but better word because it's smaller and concise. Perfection. You want to be the excellence of execution. And so I was messing with Husker Wave yesterday on Twitter. I don't know his or her real name, but, you know, he's just retweeting a video. And the minute I saw that machine, Andrew, as God is my witness, all sorts of butterflies came out.
Like bad butterflies?
Like anxiety.
Like sick to your stomach butterflies.
Anxiety. Because you know what I felt? I felt like, oh, shoot. If these guys aren't ready for what that piece of equipment entails, they're in trouble. Like, they're in big trouble.
What does it feel like running through that?
It's miserable. I can't describe it. You know, this isn't hyperbole. Like, come on, man. Like, I'm going to keep it 100. That machine for us, and that group for that stretch has so many funny stories that were miserable that it's unbelievable. First of all, they kept it on the grass field. They never put it on in the cook, what was formerly known as the Cook Pavilion. It was always in the grass. So you knew when we had to hit that, we called it the gauntlet, when you had to hit that machine, number one, it was going to be on the second practice of a two-a-day, or it was going to be out on the grass, which they never flipping cut. Coach Solich was, I can conjure this up like it was yesterday. Because there would be this anxiety that hit the backs the minute we went over. Wherever it was left was where we went. So if we left it in the corner of the grass, hey, jog over to the gauntlet. And they never mowed around it because Coach Solich didn't want it moved. We had to move it. He wanted it to face a certain way. We had to move it. He'd leave it out there in the rain.
So it rusted.
The coils sucked. It was brutal, right? And I've told this mini version of a story. I got kicked out of a drill. He put his foot right in my left cheek. Just get out. And I had an AJ Allen moment. I had an AJ Allen moment. Third time I had been through, I was hurt. It hurt my rib cage. It got me in like the right testicle. I didn't know how to do it. And all he kept saying was, come out of the back end. Come out of the back end. Come out of the back end. Come out of the back. He just kept saying it over and over and over. And I'm like, this man is crazy. Right? I'm on my third time through. I'm watching. I'm not going to put other guys out. Like, they can comment on how hard it was to go through. But it didn't matter who you were. Lance Lewis, Corey Schlesinger, Brian Schuster, Jeff Makovica, Clint Childs, Lawrence Phillips, Amon Green. You know, Amon is like 6'1", right? He's long. Do you know what we ended up calling him going through the gauntlet?
Amon?
Yeah.
What'd you call him?
Amen Groin. Where did we get Amen Groin from?
Oh, no. When those things would swing back,
yeah,
and he was too tall
we would be like, "Amen, groin."
Yeah, he couldn't raise those bars
because he was long and he was tall. And if you didn't have good pad level, the machine is a nightmare. And that one looked brand new. I watched the arms over and over. Didn't give
boing right back.
And you know what? Coaching is about managing failures and teaching. Mm-hmm. He's learning a new skill. So I'm not burying AJ Allen over that. I'm like, bro.
I'm not burying AJ, and I'm not burying Barthel.
Listen, I watched a guy run for 2K that did not like that machine either.
We'll continue the conversation with Schaefer next.